The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program
on SB Nation Radio
and on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad to join us, SB Nation AM, on a Thursday as conference basketball tournaments are really starting to heat up. Last night, an interesting development in the Big 12. Oklahoma, I didn't think, was going to make any noise this year. They didn't have a very good season. But last night, they were playing West Virginia, who was massively disappointing this year. I like West Virginia, and they usually play that really good press defense, but they had a really awful season. But Oklahoma's Christian James hit what appeared to be last night the game-tying three-pointer to force the game into overtime in the opening round of the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. But they reviewed it, and they found out that his foot was actually on the line, and it was only a two. What a wild way to lose a game. You got to know where you are as a player. I get that, and I totally understand that players have to know where they're shooting from. You got to be careful. If you need a three, you get the three. You're better off being back off the line a little bit. Sometimes in the heat of the moment, you got to take what you can get. So I understand all of that, but it's still heartbreaking when you watch the review. Oh no, his foot's on the line. That's not going in. Or like you see times where a guy makes a shot and it's, you know, the ball goes in the basket and the buzzer sounds and everybody goes crazy. And then they look at the replay and his hand is still touching the ball when the light's gone on and you go, oh man. But no, you know, it's part of hoops lore. That's pretty good. But anyway, West Virginia advances in the Big 12. I just thought it was one of the, again, I don't expect either team to make any noise. I don't think they're upsetting anybody. Likely would have lost today anyway. But it just reminds you how quirky these little games can get. And we're getting closer to the NCAA tournament where it gets even more quirkier. So anyway, just conference tournament news and notes. I want to get to the Odell Beckham Jr. trade that we talked about yesterday. There's reloading and then there's rebuilding. And it's okay to rebuild. I think if you're an NFL fan, you know that part of the deal, right? That your team is sometimes going to have to rebuild and not necessarily reload. For the Giants, is that exactly what they're going to be doing here? And for the Cleveland Browns, are we ready for Cleveland to be a legit force in the AFC? Are we ready for this? Because we haven't had it in a very, very long time. It is Tony D. Ron Culver. It's SB Nation AM.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it is Throwback Thursday. This is great because normally we take a year. We take a year that something happened on this day in sports. But today, because it's March 14th, 3.14, get it? It's Pi Day. So these are all songs that have a Pi reference. This is excellent. I like it. Now, did you have a hard time finding a lot of Pi-related songs?
Nah, that's the power of the internet.
It is the power of the internet, but
you
I didn't
just,
know how
you
many
know,
people...
Google in, I just say, you know what? I just want to know what some Pi songs are, and up popped
how
a bunch.
How many of them are for, like, 1950 is, like, shoo-bop, shoo-bop, doo-wop?
I guarantee there's going to be songs we're going to hear for the first time.
All right,
in our
good.
Life, and they're 50 years old, but it'll be the first time you and I are hearing them.
Are you getting any blues, like some, like, Robert Johnson at the Crossroads blues
Probably.
Songs?
You know what? Right. It's still a mystery to me.
Yeah, it's great. I love it. 3.14. Remember, was it the 15th? It was 3.14 15.
Yeah.
And
well,
it was like, oh, this is really.
I guess
day.
The way that you're supposed to celebrate today is at 1:59.
I gotcha.
Because it goes 3.14159, and that's
right.
When you're supposed to celebrate. For me, in our household, we just eat pie.
That is a famous math cheer. Like if your school had a math team, right? You would go square root, tangent, cosine, sine, 3.14159. Go math team. If your school had a math team, I don't know if yours did.
Nope.
Mine did.
Never heard of that, Tony.
Never had a math team.
That's pretty impressive, though.
Yeah,
you know what? We might have. I just didn't roll in those circles.
Yep. So I had discovered that when I was in high school, and I did that for the math team once, and I was like, and they were like, really, a cheer for the math team? I'm like, why not? Sure,
yeah,
why not?
Cheer for the math team. Who cares? Sure. They need loving too.
They need love too. You know, they're not the most popular people, you know, but still, they're gonna rule the world someday.
Yeah, you're gonna be working for them.
By the way, real quick, before we advance, and this was the only time I'll bring this up, and not to get all scholarly on anybody, pi, if I'm not mistaken, isn't pi the distance? What is pi, actually?
I think it's the way to measure a circle.
It's
like the radius or something like that that you use.
See how stupid I am? I don't even remember this stuff.
That's right. We work in a business that we're only supposed to calculate points.
I'm not supposed to worry about that kind of stuff. So pi.
Yeah, but we can break down batting averages like nobody's business.
That's right. That is right. All right, so I want to get to the Cleveland Browns because this was like you get the initial news of the trade. And then obviously you take a day or two to process it. And you got, okay, they got Odell Beckham, right? They starting to play good last year. Baker Mayfield in year two. A lot of sophomore jinx, I get that. But heading in the right direction. Are we ready for the Cleveland Browns to not be the kick-around football team and the laughingstock of the NFL? Are we ready now for the Cleveland Browns to be kind of a force in this league? Because I am. I'm kind of looking forward to it. Actually, not really as a Steeler fan, but taking my fandom out of it, yeah. I love the fact that the Browns are finally doing this. It's just what took so long. Like I said earlier, there's rebuild and reload. There are some teams that reload, right? They're good. They need certain positions. They go out and get those positions, and they keep the machine rolling along. The Patriots do this, for example. But if you're a true NFL fan, you do realize that there are various points in your lifetime that your team is going to have to take a step back and go, we need to reset everything. We need to get a new quarterback. We need to get rid of some old contracts. We need to free up some money. We need to rebuild. Whatever the Giants want to say they're doing, they're rebuilding and they know it, right? It's whether or not they want to rebuild in a short term or they want to go long term. Whatever it is, they're rebuilding. Now, if you're a Giants fan, that you could be totally okay with that, right? Because that's something you have to do every now and then. For example, Ron, as a Charger fan, Phillip Rivers is getting old. Pittsburgh, I'm a Steeler fan. Ben Roethlisberger is getting old. There may be a time where you get a young quarterback and you have to sort of go through the motions of a not-so-good season while you find that position.
Yeah, which happened yesterday for my Chargers.
That's right.
Yep, to Rod Taylor.
To Rod Taylor, I know, right? I mean, is that the future?
No.
No, of course not. Why would Tyrod Taylor be
the future? He couldn't even make it on the Browns. That's literally probably the last Browns joke we're able to tell.
I know. That's very true. So, again, but if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, let me just give you the real history here. Let me, like, over the last 30-plus years, the Browns in the 80s were a really good football team. Bernie Kosar, right? They made it to the playoffs. They lost to Denver twice, the fumble and the drive. But then when they had Bill Belichick as a head coach, and that wasn't as successful as he was when he was in New England. But they did go to the playoffs. They did beat the Patriots in the 90s. I want to say 94 postseason. But they moved to Baltimore, right? So they became the Ravens. And then they got a franchise in 99. And they only made the playoffs once. And they lost to Pittsburgh in 2002. And that's it. So there's rebuild and then there's reload. The Browns obviously never reloaded, but they never rebuilt either because there was really nothing to build. The famous jersey of all the quarterbacks, we all know that image. We've seen it a million times. Every time there's a new starting quarterback, we see the image on social media. They've gone through 100 head coaches. They just never found a winning formula. And now it appears that they have. And now Odell Beckham going to the Browns. Now imagine this, for example. If Odell Beckham Jr. had gone to any of the previous Brown organization or teams, right? I mean, just any of the Browns teams in the past 15 years. If he had gone to any one of those, he would have been going to Siberia of the NFL, regardless of his talent, right? It would almost have been a punishment for something by getting traded to Cleveland. And now he's going to the Browns. He's excited. The Browns are excited. They know what they have. They know what they're doing. They know where they're heading. Now, obviously, it's a wait and see. Because as I said earlier, if you know this league and you know it well, you know that sometimes all of this rotisserie-style football doesn't play out. There's chemistry, there's roles, right? Some injuries may plague you. So when we look at an organization and we look at what they're doing in free agency, or we look at what they do in the draft in the next 6 weeks, we see, for example, this should work, this should work, this should work, and sometimes it just doesn't, right? We talk about Jacksonville, for example, and they just released Blake Bortles. But for many years, Jacksonville had a top five pick, a top 10 pick, right? Over and over and over again. And then you think one of these years they're getting it together, and they do get it together. And then you go, okay, great. They've now crossed the Rubicon. All of this is paying off. The defense that they're building, this is going to be a force in the league for a while, right? Blake Bortles has taken the next step in, you know, getting a contract extension, all of those things. And then, bop, 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 they fell apart. So we can look at Cleveland and say, we'll see. Or you can look at Cleveland and say, man, I expect them to be really good. They were, 7-8-1 last year. I expect them to be a team that's a double-digit win team that is going to make the playoffs. We'll see. But at the same time, the expectations are high, and rightfully so. I mean, that's a long time to go to a fan base over and over again with your hat in your hand and say, trust us. That's a long time. You know, just personally, right, as a Steeler fan, Ben Roethlisberger is going to retire any day now, all right? And the Steelers are going to have a question mark at quarterback, and they're going to look for somebody in the draft, or maybe they're going to groom Josh Dobbs or anybody, or the young players that they have, Mason Rudolph, any of the young players they have, to take over that role. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. But the team will go through a time of, all right, we're going to shed some contracts, we're going to rebuild. But you expect it to be only a few years before they kick it back in again. That never occurred for Cleveland. In the 20 years that they've had an organization back from Baltimore. Remember, this is an expansion team. Never forget that. This was an expansion team. This was an expansion team like the Houston Texans. This was an expansion team like the Jacksonville Jaguars, like the Carolina Panthers. This was not a relocated franchise. This was not the same team that went to Baltimore, even though they get the records. This was a team built from scratch just 20 years ago. Now, the Texans, they got into the league, right? And it's disappointing when they don't win. Texans fans are upset when they don't win. They've got really strong players. They've got a good organization. If they don't make the playoffs, it's disappointing. What went wrong? Let's fire a coach. Let's figure this out. What happened? Carolina and Jacksonville went to the postseason in their second year of existence, right? For Cleveland, it has always been losing, 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 and losing since the team came back. And now they're not expected to lose. They're expected to win. Not only are they expected to win, they are expected to win big. They could win this division in the AFC South. They could be a factor in the playoffs because they're a hard team to beat. They will play you till the end. If we saw last year is just better, then get ready for the Cleveland Browns to be a force in the National Football League for a season, maybe two, maybe three. But for 20 years, that fan base has been sitting on a promise that has never been fulfilled, except maybe one little playoff appearance. I think they had Derek Anderson at quarterback, and they lost to the Steelers. But that's incredible. I mean, that's incredible. And now they're good. And the Giants, again, I don't know how to describe it, but other than rebuild, that's it. You can play with the words, but that's not what the fans know. The fans know you're going to start and get rid. You only have three starters left from a couple of years ago. It's called rebuilding when you strip it down that much. All right, 800-777-2907. We'll get more from the NFL. We'll talk about Blake Bortles' release a little bit. Will he get a job again in the National Football League? And also some other news and notes. Eric Berry got let go by the Chiefs. We'll talk more about that coming up. It's Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're celebrating pie songs. Can't play Name That Tune because I don't know half of these.
Yeah, but
3.4, so it's March 14th. That's why we're doing
but
that.
Do you recognize the sound of this band?
Yeah.
Very, very popular band.
Yes. Is this Led Zeppelin?
Yes.
That's right.
And this is their song, Custard Pie.
Oh, I should know this, but I don't.
You should know this.
I mean, had a few of their albums growing up, so I didn't.
Yeah, we all did.
I don't have them anymore.
I think this is one of those songs that you kind of skipped over to get to the ones that we really knew.
Probably. Like the Immigrant Song and things like that. Doing a repair that needs a special tool, O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with the Loaner Tool Program. Over 80 specialized loaner tools are available. So O'Reilly's is sure to have the tool in stock to help you get the job done. Purchase the needed parts, put down a deposit on the loaner tool, then return the tool in the original condition, receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So Blake Bortles got released. That ends that. No more Blake Bortles to cover anymore.
It's kind of sad.
Oh, man.
Where is he going?
What a weird business the NFL. Think about this. What a weird business the NFL is. But you could also make this point with a lot of sports. But the reality is the NFL, Blake Bortles played, what, 5 years in the league? He was the number three overall pick. He was the third overall pick of the draft. He has made a boatload of money.
Nice.
I mean, just a boatload of money. And that's all you got to do. That's it. Just play a couple of years, be the third overall pick, fail, succeed, whatever, and that's it. You're done. You're locked in.
Here's an interesting one for you. Would you rather be Blake Bortles searching for a job or Nathan Peterman searching for a job?
See, that's a really good question.
Because
I'd rather be Blake Bortles because I don't have the pressure of searching for a job. I got money.
That's true.
$50 million.
But if you're worried about your NFL history, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because with Blake Bortles, I mean, we ragged on Nathan Peterman for one season. I mean, maybe even for like six games, and it was fun. But Blake Bortles has had seasons.
He was awful. Yeah.
But at the same time, he was one of the best fantasy quarterbacks to own.
Yeah, he was. Well, yeah, because he was always coming from behind. He's chucking that ball around. Yeah.
Fourth quarter stats were always. He probably has the best fourth quarter stats in the history of the NFL.
That was a lesson I learned about 10 years ago when I landed John Kitna in the draft. He threw for 4,000 yards.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, John Kitna's fun. Like the Lions were terrible at Kitna, but that's the reason he was putting up all these great numbers.
Always playing from behind.
That's right. No, but I mean. Listen, I think Blake Bortles lands somewhere. I think he's a backup holding the clipboard. He's just when you're in the league, when you're in the NFL and you're looking at your quarterback roster, right? The guy who plays the backup or the third string quarterback is just an able body guy that can do it. Right. He doesn't have to be great at it by the, you know, because how many third stringers are, you know, coming are supposed to come in and win games? Normally it's just get him in there. We'll see what happens. You know, we're down a quarterback. We'll find another one or whatever. So I think he lands a spot. He's a starter in this league. He wasn't that great, but these guys bounce around and he'll find a spot. I don't know where, but he was the third overall pick. And again, it was the right choice. He was a good quarterback at Central Florida. He was good. He led them to a victory over Baylor in the Fiesta Bowl. Big guy, good arm. It just didn't work out. It's amazing to me. It still does after all. And I mean, I've covered this league a lot. It still amazes to me which quarterbacks succeed and which quarterbacks fail, right? Sometimes you get a guy in the sixth round like Tom Brady. Sometimes you take a guy number one overall like Peyton Manning and he's super successful. Sometimes you find a guy that goes undrafted like Tony Romo, right? He plays, you know, comes in because he's a starter for you for a while. Sometimes you get a guy late in the third round and he becomes a starting quarterback and leads you to success. Sometimes you win a Super Bowl with a guy that's contemplating retirement after he was getting released by another team. Sometimes you win a Super Bowl with the number one overall pick in the draft. It's one half dozen or the other. It's amazing who fails, who succeeds and who fails at this. And it's amazing the massive difference that you see from guys who come in from the college game. Some guys can get it and some guys don't. It's like going to grad school. It's like going to med school, right? Once you get to the NFL, it's like a different way the position is played for some of these guys. You know, Kyler Murray had his pro day. He didn't run the 40 because he felt like he didn't have to. He was 100% right in that, right? I mean, why would you run a 40-yard dash at your pro day? Like, what NFL personnel needed to see you run? Who wasn't watching him run all season? Right. I mean, just go to the tape and he made the throws and looked good. Right. I mean, he could be the number one pick. He could be successful, but you don't know. It's really weird. I thought Blake Bortles was going to be good eventually. I did. I mean, I didn't think he was going to be great, but I thought he was going to be good for a while.
Well, and we all got on that hype train too. When he led the team to the AFC championship, but it was two seasons ago.
Oh yeah.
We all felt finally turned around. Yeah. Finally. Yeah. He's here. And nope, then last season happened.
It didn't work out. It's amazing. I mean, look, we talked about Baker Mayfield, but we all know sometimes in your second year, you regress, right? Teams have got more tape on you. They figure out a little bit more. They figure out what maybe is your weakness and they exploit that. There's a lot of smart minds running the defensive side of the NFL. And, you know, maybe you catch a team catch a couple of teams by surprise, but then after a while, they go, oh, all right, we got it. We'll figure this out. Or maybe you build on that success. Remember when Dak Prescott, oh, my God, look how great he was, took the job from Tony Romo. And then the next year was all right. Yeah. Then sometimes you just regress. But, I mean, it's Jacksonville getting Nick Foles. I hate to say it like this, but I'm going to say it like this. When you get a guy like Nick Foles, who's a Super Bowl MVP and can actually play the position, there's no question he can play quarterback in the NFL. He's not struggling at the position, and you hope he just gets good. Like, he can play. But to come off 2 years ago, when you were within a few minutes of going to the Super Bowl, and you had a great year, and it looked like all of the pieces were coming together, how fast has Jacksonville fallen that the conversation when Nick Foles gets there is, well, you know, they do need a lot of help. You know, he's going to a team that needs a lot of help. How fast did that fall? Shouldn't Jacksonville still be, in some respect, the team that almost beat the Patriots in the AFC title game and went to the Super Bowl? But they're not. Foles goes there, and immediately the conversation is, well, they need help on the offensive line, they need help on this, and Leonard Fournette better be the kind of player he was a couple of years ago, and defensively, they don't have some of the same guys that they used to. I mean, how bizarre is that? I mean, and so, if I watch, I see Odell Beckham Jr. going to the Browns, I'm expecting big things from the Browns, I'm excited, you know, for the Browns as much as I can be excited for them. Jacksonville? I don't know. Nick Foles, yeah, they're better at the quarterback position. But boy, oh boy, was that just just unceremoniously dumped that we were talking about Jacksonville's problems and other things that was wrong with the team. That organization should be in celebratory mode. I remember, you don't have to go back that far, maybe 17 years ago maybe, when Drew Bledsoe, remember when Drew Bledsoe lost his job to Brady? Where did he go after that? He went to Buffalo. They gave him a key to the city. They had a big, big ceremony to announce Drew Bledsoe was coming to Buffalo to play for the Bills. And Nick Foles, a Super Bowl MVP, and a guy that played well enough to get the Eagles in striking distance of the Saints at the Superdome. And it's, I got some problems. He's still a problem. That is too bad. Browns fans are on cloud nine. They should be competitive. Jacksonville, you should be on cloud nine. And the national media is telling you your team still stinks. And your team still stinks around a Super Bowl MVP from 2 years ago. Unbelievable. Amazing. 800-777-2907, the number. You want to hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, SB Nation AM.
So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, it's one day a week we get to talk a little bit about music. We're celebrating March 14th, Pi Day 3.14. And this is American Pie by Don McLean. Can I say it's the biggest pie song that we probably have?
Probably.
This is an amazing
tune. I'm pretty certain that this will be the biggest song that we know.
I did not find this in college, but I've heard that this song is studied in college because the lyrics all have a metaphoric meaning in the music world.
And it's all about the night the music died.
Yeah.
So, is it Richie Valens, Buddy Holly, and the Big Bopper?
Yes. But they study it because each line is a symbol of something that was going on in the music world. Like when the jester wore a coat, when Jay was Bob Dylan, the Altamont, the Rolling Stones at Altamont is in there. There's a whole bunch of metaphoric lines in the history of music. So it's been studied pretty well. And I guess he was... something like Don McLean did something with this song where he was like he helped somebody break it down once or something like that. It's a really, really good tune. It's a really, really good tune. And when you kind of study the lyrics and know the lyrics, it makes it even better. But it's a really good, really good number. So that's a good one. That's probably the best one we have today. But we'll have some more coming up on Throwback Thursday.
We peaked. Yeah.
We're good. I thought this was brilliant, by the way. Very good on your part. Because you were telling me and said nothing's really going on in the history of sports. On this day in history kind of thing. And
even the greater history of stuff that happened.
Just in world history.
Yeah, in entertainment history, there wasn't really anything. The biggest things are centered around college basketball. Now, on this date in history, you talked about this once already, was in 2008, the SEC tournament.
Oh, the tornado tournament. Yeah. That was a big
deal. That happened today when the tornado touched down.
Yeah, that's such a scary, good documentary, though. I think the SEC Network put that out. Documentary on that.
It was really struggling to find something to really grasp onto.
But then you found this, and I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah, let's celebrate pie.
It's great. By the way, chocolate cream is very good. Blueberry, not bad. Apple, very good. But pecan is the best.
Okay.
Get a good pecan pie, it's very good. Or pecan pie, however you want to pronounce it. Pecan, however you want to pronounce it.
Yeah, pecan.
Pecan, very good. All right, 800-777-2907. By this, Aunt Becky got arrested yesterday. Laura Loughlin.
Yeah.
Laura Loughlin got arrested yesterday. $1 million bond? Is that what I read?
$1 million bond.
What is she, a serial killer?
Exactly.
What are you talking about with this?
Well, I guess it is better than Felicity Huffman getting arrested at gunpoint.
Oh, I know. I heard that, too.
I mean,
these people do that is such a... It requires the arsenal. They probably would have walked in on their own. Are you kidding?
Yeah, they probably would have, you bang on the door, they would have opened up and said, yeah, come on in. What's up?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, if the FBI is knocking at my door, I'm letting them in.
She flew back. Lori Loughlin flew back to surrender. She was somewhere and then flew back to L.A. to surrender.
Well, she's working.
Right.
And she's allowed, I guess, she posted bond or bail or whatever it was, but she's allowed to continue working because she's working in Canada.
Oh, I got it. But she flew back for this.
Yes.
What a weird flight that must have been. What a scary flight that must have been.
Oh, are you kidding me? It's like,
right, you mean? You're sitting on the plane and you're like, oh, what's going to happen? I'm voluntarily.
You're going to get arrested.
God.
I mean, do you do your hair? I'm being honest. I mean, if you know you're going to get arrested, you know you're going to come. It's like, I'm fixing myself up because I've seen mugshot photos. Oh. I don't want that out there.
There are mugshot photos where I wonder if somebody's getting beat up in the background. Like just some the guys.
They roughed you up beforehand.
Yeah, like some guys, like look decent for your mugshot. It's going everywhere. It's going to be on every social media site in the country. This is the more I've been looking into this, man. Oh man, this was bad. These people,
yeah.
I mean, these people that bought spots in colleges for their kids. This is disgusting. And I mean, this is absolutely disgusting.
And really, you know what it is? It's more the fact of like showing off rights.
Right.
For the parents. Like I hate to say this because I love Aunt Becky, but Lori Loughlin and her husband, I just know his name is Massimo or something. It was more them showing off like, yes, my daughter did get into USC. How about yours? You know, when they're sitting at the yacht club.
Yeah, right.
And that's really what it's about. I mean, you and I both know, we can tell you, and we know no college kids are listening to us at this hour, but, listen to the podcast later. We can tell you that you can gain a good college experience pretty much from anywhere.
Sure you can. Sure you can. But like to get into Yale is really, really difficult. And these people bought their way by putting them on the tennis team. The Texas tennis coach got fired for this ordeal.
Well, because he was...
What kind of money? I mean,
He was posting them as recruits, but not giving them, like not offering them scholarships to be part of the team.
Isn't it amazing how people will do this and they think that nothing will ever happen to them? They will never be traced. You know what I'd like to know? Okay, if you're the tennis coach at Texas, you're still making good money, right? I mean, these coaches still make pretty good dough. How do you hide that money? Like if somebody's giving you $40,000, right, how do you account for it in your taxes? How do you account for it, period? I mean, it's a weird...
What was I listening to yesterday? It was centered around USC. The USC water polo coach who, is famous. He's like the number one college water polo coach in the country. And he got $250,000 to be a part of the scandal. But then here's where discrepancy lies. And, we talk about this all the time. I think it was the assistant athletic director at USC... It made like $1.2 million.
Oh, wow.
And like $250,000, okay, I can see you maybe being able to hide that. But $1.2 million, it's like all of a sudden you just got a bump. Are you just hoping that no one ever notices?
Yeah. I mean, how do you account for that? Like, how banks are? Like, you go to a bank with a check, they get all suspicious. Like, where did this come from? Like, certain amounts and stuff? Because of money laundering and all that stuff, they want to be really careful.
If you bring in too large of a check, they'll be like, oh, we're going to hold this for about a week.
Yeah, we want to take a look at this.
I need the cash, man.
Where is that? Where is this? All of a sudden you go you know, in pieces, you're bringing in that kind of money, but it's not accounted for. It's not a direct deposit thing. It's not part of your salary. It doesn't come from an institution that's a trusted institution. So if you're working at USC and you're making $200,000 a year doing, you know, coaching a sport, or $150,000 a year coaching a sport, right? Your bank knows a certain amount of money is coming in every 2 weeks based on USC, and you walk in with some personal checks, or what are you walking in with? Like, how in the world is this money being sent to you? And how, like, it's just, and so here's the point. Let's say, even if you overcome that, like, you can get through all of that, again, how do you account for it in taxes? How do you make this good? And so do you think this is never going to get back to you? That eventually this whole pyramid is going to come crashing down. And you may go, well, no one's paying attention to the Texas tennis coach. Yes, they are.
But it's funny because it's all the small sports.
Right.
And I hate saying it's a small sport. But it was women's volleyball, it was tennis, sure. It was water polo, it was the sports. Because we all gravitate towards basketball, football, and to a certain point, baseball will be popular for us. But when you're paying out a college soccer coach some money, or a college crew coach rowing, you're not really going to, you know, I guess the idea is that no one cares about them. No one cares about that sport. You can hide it under the table.
Yeah. And it is pretty sad, because they did, if this, you know, you, sometimes these things are like, look, if you're a student athlete, right? Like this, this story about LSU, okay, with Will Wade offering, you know, an offer to Javonte Smart, and then complaining that he wanted a piece of the pie because he took care of the family first. That's, I mean, I don't want to say victimless crime, but this is not a victimless crime. There were students that did not get into these schools because these kids got into these schools. There is somebody that got turned down so these people could go to these institutions. And man, it is a strange scandal, but it's taking down a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people. And it's so dumb. Because again, we talked about this yesterday, and I thought to myself, okay, if I read some more about this, I'm going to find some angles here that make a little bit more sense, rather than, hey, I'm going to take my $250,000 and donate it to this school or do something else with the money so that my kid can get in. Instead, they just got involved in this illegal bribe to get my kid in scam. And I still don't get it. I still don't understand why they ran the risk of that. Maybe somebody told them it wasn't illegal. Maybe somebody told them that you're not going to go to jail for this, and then whoops, you are going to go to jail for this, or you could. Do you think Lori Loughlin actually goes to prison?
No.
Or do you think she serves any time?
No, I think she has to pay a fine.
I kind of get the feeling that she's not.
Yeah,
I get Felicity Huffman. I don't think they're going to jail.
No, I think they're going to end up paying a large fine.
Yeah,
and then be put on the, you know, maybe have to do community service.
Like, pick up trash on the side of the highway?
Nah, you know, they got...
Wouldn't
they
that got, be kind of cool?
That would be kind of cool, but they got celebrity community service.
Yeah, right. That's right. Like, speak at some school about the dangers of drugs or something like that, right?
Or maybe they have to volunteer at college admissions. I don't know.
Maybe so. Or work at the local soup kitchen or something like that, right?
Yep.
Take some pictures with some homeless people or something like that.
No. What would Aunt Becky do? Oh, actually, I know what Aunt Becky will do. We'll talk about that next hour.
Yeah, you got it. All right. 800-777-2907. It's SB Nation AM.
Honey pie, you are making me crazy. I'm in love, but I'm lazy. So won't you please come home?
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, is this Paul McCartney? This sounds like Paul McCartney. Who is this? Is this Gilbert Sullivan?
No, it's Paul McCartney, but it's actually the Beatles.
Paul McCartney. It's the Beatles.
It's okay. All of them.
All right.
Off their white album.
We celebrate Pi Day today. Is there anybody offering pie specials on March 14th?
Like, I think so. I think you can get. I think there's specials for pizza. There's got to be, right?
It's got to be, right? And if you're not, you pay attention to the calendar. That's all I've got, my little marketing advice to you. So 800-777-2907. 800-777-2907 is the number. Eric Berry got released. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that's kind of upsetting. Yeah, that goes back to it being NFL is a business.
Yes, NFL is a business. I know. Eric Berry not overcame, but he had Hodgkin's lymphoma, came back, Pro Bowler, spent his entire career with the Chiefs. He's got a great story. But this is another business decision by the league. Kansas City is, by the way, Kansas City is revamping their defense, but that's the front four, not Eric Berry. But he's often injured. I mean, he's spent a lot of time injured over the last couple of years. So, but a lot of safeties on the market. Earl Thomas went to Baltimore, and I thought he was going to go to Dallas. I thought they were really going to make a push for Earl Thomas, and they didn't. And now he went to the Ravens. And I just got done saying how the Ravens, remember yesterday, I said, look at all the departures of the Steelers and the Ravens, and the Bengals aren't doing anything in the postseason. And now all of a sudden, there we go.
They picked up Earl Thomas, but they also, I don't know if it's official yet, but it looks all signs are going that Mark Ingram's going to the Ravens as well.
Yeah.
So breaking up that Saints duo.
That's right. That's very true. My goodness.
So, Ravens, could that be an exciting team as well? I mean, they're like a big question mark to me.
Yeah, I know.
Browns make moves and we're like, oh, yes, 12-4, easy. You know, the Ravens are making moves. We're like, we'll see. I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know yet.
Nevertheless, we had the full day Wednesday, and then it kind of slowed down, and now you're just getting releases.
Yeah.
Now you're just getting cuts.
People just
so this
cuts.
Is where that's going. It was so much fun when it was like all these signings and all this stuff. Teddy Bridgewater is another one I wanted to bring up because there was a report that Bridgewater was going to re-sign with the
Saints.
He was going to re-sign with the Saints, and then he didn't, and now he's meeting with the Dolphins. So I don't know if he's going to, but there was. This is how quick this changes, right? Because Teddy Bridgewater was going to re-sign with the Saints, and they were like, look, man, he's like dedicated to eventually being the starting quarterback of the Saints when Drew Brees finally retires. Now he's like, wait a minute. Let me test the water first before I go crazy, before I do anything nuts. Let me just get a feel for this. Let me go figure this out. So
he sits there just like, man, Miami looks like story. So much more fun than New Orleans.
Yeah, right.
New Orleans is fun one time
a
year.
Backup. Who wants to be a backup when you can be a starter? I don't care where you are. If you can be a starter in this league, be a starter in this league. I don't care where it is. Like you, if you can play and start, you go start. Like, don't wait for a job to open up because you don't know how that team is going to respond to you 2 years, 3 years from now down the road. That doesn't make any sense. So, oh my goodness. SB Nation AM rolling along. I'll get into the NBA. There might be one team that can beat Golden State 4 out of 7. I'll tell you who that is coming up next. It's SB Nation Radio on SB Nation AM.